economists and real estate experts alike are predicting that 2018 will shape up to be a seller's market, giving homeowners pricing leverage. Nationwide, we're seeing inventory issues and weak residential housing starts, which is the beginning construction on new homes. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. What does this all mean for Wisconsin's residential market? Anthony Nudo is a real estate agent based in Kenosha. He's also a vice president with Berkshire Hathaway Epic Real Estate and a former vice president of the Wisconsin Realtor Association. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Well, the National Association of Realtors put Wisconsin in the red on its latest confidence index that's just out. When they surveyed your fellow comrades in real estate, they predicting a very strong housing market for the first half of 2018. What do you think? What does that mean?
Well, I think prices are going to go up. You hit it on the head where inventory is low. We have low housing starts, not a lot of new construction coming online, and that is giving upward pressure on existing home prices. So I do see that going up.
So as people start getting warmed up here for another market year for buying and selling, what does that mean for families? What should they do, first of all, if you are going to be entering this market and either buying or selling here in Wisconsin?
First and foremost, if you are looking at buying and getting into this market, you should start planning sooner rather than later. Talk to a real estate professional, get pre-approved, see how much you can actually afford or how much you want to afford before you start going out there and looking. I would say that's the number one thing to start with when you're entering into this market.
So get your ducks in a row. What about if you're selling?
If you're selling, again, go talk to a real estate professional. All real estate's local, and every local market, even here throughout Wisconsin, has its own unique features. The first thing to do if you're looking at selling, talk to a real estate agent and kind of see what's going on in the market, what's happening out there in your local community, and talk to them and get focused in on where the buyers are coming from and what they're looking for. And right now, what buyers are looking for throughout the state is a turnkey home, one that's ready to move into. It's a very competitive market. Fix those little things that you've been putting off for a long time, because those little things make a big difference in a competitive market.
So when will home buying season begin in Wisconsin? When do you see the season taking off?
You know, the season ended a little bit later this year, this past year, because the weather held off quite a bit. And when the weather holds off, people are going out and looking at houses more often. This new season coming up, typically we start in February, March, and that's what we're seeing again this year. It looks like we're going to start heating up here in February after tax returns start coming in. People have a little bit extra cash in their pocket.
Well, it sounds like they're going to need a lot of extra cash in their their pocket, Anthony.
Yeah, that is. We have those prices have been going up pretty substantially, and so it is a seller's market at this point. So getting started sooner rather than later definitely helps, and it gets the jump off the ball.
The Wisconsin Realtor Association reports that the state saw healthy growth in November home sales. How many homes were sold last year? What numbers do you have from last year?
So last year we have, it was about 90 some thousand homes that were sold. Year to date, the numbers that we have in right now for November, we're at 82,000. So it looks like we're going to hit or surpass our 2016 numbers once the final numbers for December come in. Year to date in November 2016, we're at just under 82,000 at 81,800. At same time in 2017, we're just over at 82,019.
And average prices for these homes, how do they stack up year to year, year over year?
They are jumping. 2015, the average home sale price in November was $150,000, jumped up to $161,000 in 2016. And now in 2017, we hit $170,000 for an average November sale, which is tremendous.
Talking right now with Anthony Nudo. He is a real estate agent. He's based in Kenosha. He's also a vice president with Berkshire Hathaway Epic Real Estate and a former president of the Wisconsin Realtor Association. You can join in with your questions about buying and selling a home or a property in 2018. 800-642-1234. And your stories. Have you recently bought a home? Do you feel like you overpaid or did you get a deal? How long did it take for you to find the right house? Tell us about your bidding war. Have you tried to purchase property only to find other people vying for the same place? 800-642-1234. You can also send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Anthony, pre-approval, as you mentioned, such a big thing, finding out how much house you can buy, how much you want to put down as a down payment, how much of a mortgage you can carry. Those are big questions. What about going mortgage shopping right now? What should consumers do?
Well, number one, go talk to either a real estate agent that can refer you to a reputable lender or several reputable lenders to shop around, or, you know, talk to family and friends. See where they had a good experience. There's many great lenders out there, and it's important to go and shop around. They're all a little different, and they all offer something different. While interest rates will be typically similar, there are differences. So it's important to go and talk to these lenders and try and get some good strategies from each one.
What about the online marketplaces, thinking about Rocket or LendingTree, these online marketplaces where you can get mortgages through? What do you make of those?
You know, I've always had in my professional experience the best luck with local mortgage brokers, mortgage bankers, and local banks. They know and understand the market. They have personal relationships with you, your family, and your friends, and they're there step-by-step to guide you. Those personal relationships are sometimes invaluable, especially when you're making one of the biggest decisions in your life in purchasing a home. I think those personal relationships are extremely important. I would definitely recommend talking to your local lender versus some online faceless lender.
Do you think that it's good to get more than, you know, go to more than one bank as you look for what might be the best rate? And what else might you consider beyond just the rate you'll get for your mortgage?
That's a great question. When you go and shop around for the best rate, what you don't want to do is get a hard pull on your credit report. Because every time your credit report gets pulled, when they do a hard pull, your credit score goes down because it looks like you're trying to get a bunch of credit. Recently, that was changed somewhat, where if you shop around and you do these hard pulls by, let's call it three different lenders, all within a very short period, you know, a couple of weeks, the credit bureau understands you're shopping around for a rate. So it's okay to do that. So that's the first thing, is going around, talking to these lenders, shopping around for a rate. That's number one. But number two is, what programs can they offer? There's different programs, such as FHA mortgages, that you can put as little as 3.5% down. There's other conventional mortgages where you might have to put 20% down. But yet there's other lenders, specific banks that may have a grant program with a municipality. I know here in Kenosha, there is a grant program that is available to lower income first-time buyers, where nobody would know about that unless you go and talk to that that lender and see what options are available to each individual person.
Well, the housing crisis also put a damper on adjustable rate mortgages that went through the roof. Are those back? Are those adjustable rate mortgages back?
You know what? We're not seeing those adjustable rate mortgages. Interest rates are still historically low. We're maybe seeing a tinge of upward pressure on these interest rates, but they're still in the fours, and there's really no need to go into an adjustable rate mortgage in this economy with these low interest rates. So we're really not seeing a market for them.
Realtors in Washington, Nevada, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Kentucky, Tennessee, South Carolina, Delaware, and Rhode Island expect their market to be very strong, 75-plus points in 2018. We're exploring what a very strong market will look like and how to navigate a seller's market with Anthony Nudo. He is a real estate agent based in Kenosha. He's also a vice president with Berkshire Hathaway Epic Real Estate. You can join in with your questions about buying and selling a home at 800-642-1234. Have you recently bought a home? What did you think of how the purchase price went? Do you feel like you overpaid or did you get a deal? How long did it take for you to find the right house? Did you get into a bidding war? How did that go? 800-642-1234. Send an email to ideas@wpr.org with your story. We'll return in just a moment. Stay with us. The new Realtors Confidence Index is out. Realtors are giving their predictions on the housing markets across the nation for the first half of 2018. Wisconsin is one of nine states expecting a very strong market. 69% of respondents expect home prices to grow over this coming year, 2018, with the highest home price growth in the West and Southeast. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What does this all mean here in Wisconsin? We have Anthony Nudo here to unpack it with us. He's a real estate agent based in Kenosha. He's vice president with Berkshire Hathaway Epic Real Estate and a former vice president of the Wisconsin Realtors Association. You can join in on this discussion about buying and selling homes and your experience in this marketplace. What questions do you have? 800-642-1234. Let's go to Dory now in Madison. Hi, Dory.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Yes. We're selling my parents' home, which is in a wealthy neighborhood, but my parents have been elderly and there are a lot of little problems with the house. And a realtor told us, don't bother fixing the little things, that people are going to want to put their own stamp on the house. And I'm a little bit doubtful about this and wanted to ask the realtor's opinion.
Yeah, Anthony, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Dory. An excellent question. In my experience, I've always seen, and especially in a strong market such as this, to fix those little things, as long as they're not way out of whack and price-wise. Buyers today are really looking for turnkey product. Even in a strong seller's market, if there is a dated house, it'll sit on the market for quite some time unless you substantially discount it. So unless you're going in there and really working on these small things, depending on what they are, you might lose some market time by not fixing those. That or price.
Dory, thank you so much for that question. Let's go to Joe in Madison. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
So my question is, we're looking to buy our second house after our starter home, and we live in Madison, kind of towards Monona. I guess I'm not sure how to phrase the question, but this would be a great time to be a seller, but we're also going to be a buyer, and I'm trying to kind of get the most for our money that way. And our incomes have probably gone up maybe about 10%. Would it be advisable to jump on it this year when we haven't made some repairs on the house, just very basic as far as like painting and maybe some kitchen appliances, or wait until next spring to get into it?
Great question, Joe. Anthony, I mean, if you're selling, you're also suddenly in the buying market as well.
Yes, and actually right now what we're seeing is it's a great time to sell the lower end house, the starter home, Joe, because those price and those values have gone up more when you compare it to higher priced or larger homes. So you will be getting more bang for your buck if you sell your starter home now and move up and into a larger home and more expensive home.
Well, so what about cosmetic improvements? How far do cosmetic improvements go, like repainting walls and things like that?
Now, for repainting walls, that's a key issue. You want to get rid of the crazy colors. If there's any crazy colors, get them neutralized. People like neutral colors so they can picture themselves in the house. For other things, kitchens and bathrooms, definitely sell houses. So if you have some, if you can spruce up your kitchen and your bathroom for a reasonable cost, definitely do it. But the easier and the cheaper stuff, the painting, removing wallpaper, definitely do it. A little bit of elbow grease goes a long way.
How do you feel about builder beige, really? The paint color, builder beige.
That one, that's the traditional one, right? So you get in there, and I tell you, it gets monotone at a point, but you can change that.
Let's go to Jim in Milton. Hi, Jim. Jim, can go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just had a comment and a small question there, or a piece of advice, I guess. I bought a home last year, and one thing that I found was that what I thought was a reasonable price for a home was a reasonable price in the 90s, apparently. And I felt, and my wife felt as well, that we severely overpaid for our home. We were happy that we had a house, but we kind of had negative feelings about the price we paid for it. Then when we talked to all our friends, and I'm not sure if they were just being polite or not, but I think they're being pretty honest that everybody says, wow, we got like a steal of a deal. And I've even had people say, oh, there's no way you paid that little. And I've talked to a lot of people that are buying, and I get that feeling that that's a general feeling that almost all the buyers, and of course this is going to be a feeling that all buyers have, is they feel that they're overpaying for their homes in this market. But then after they bought the home and they wait a year, they realize, wow, I guess I underpaid. And I guess I was just wondering if there's, you know, if Anthony had any thoughts on that. And then,
yeah, Jim, thank you so much for that. Anthony, go ahead.
Yeah, Jim, your feelings are correct that prices have gone up tremendously. In 2012, the average home price in the state of Wisconsin was about $130,000. Today, we're at $170,000. So it's quite an increase year over year, and it looks like it's not going to stop anytime soon. There is still definite upward pressure on home prices. So I think the sooner you get in the game, the better off you are. You hit it on the head. Those that bought last year are glad that they did.
Jim, thanks so much. Let's go to Sam in Wauwatosa. Hi, Sam.
Hey there. Good morning. How are we doing?
Doing well.
Well, very good. So my question is, my darling, understanding wife and I bought a house in, this was it, February last year? So almost a year from now. So we were comfortable in the house. It was, by all accounts, still a good deal. The thing that I kind of go back and forth on and get mixed answers from folks is whether or not the county assessor, setting up an appointment, you know, they want to come in and see what the house is and if there's been any updates to it. I've gotten both answers of yes, absolutely do this, and no, absolutely don't do this. What's the thoughts on that?
Anthony, assessors.
Well, that's an interesting question. Just recently, the Supreme Court in the state of Wisconsin ruled that you do not have to let the assessor in to contest your assessment. Prior to that ruling, a homeowner would have to allow an assessor into the property to contest their value. So now that's no longer the law. The law is you can still contest your assessment, by not allowing the assessor in, my rule of thumb is don't let the assessor in and argue the fact afterwards.
What about square footage? Should you get your own tape measure out? Should you believe square footage in the information they give you?
You know, that's a good question. And no, quite often the tax records are wrong. They're off on square footage or condition or even year built in some instances. Mm. So it's definitely worth doing a little bit of due diligence on your own, doing a little bit of investigation on your own. And if you determine that there is favorable information, go ahead and challenge the assessment, go in to the Board of Review and pitch your story and let the chips fall where they may.
Sam, thanks so much for that question. Anthony, so as you go around to open houses, how should you go and look at these homes? Are you getting only in at an open house and that's it? Or what is it like in markets around the state?
Open houses are a great way to go out and get a taste for the market. Open houses are, I believe, a staple of the real estate industry that has always been here and I believe will always be here. Buyers and people generally like the freedom of just driving around, going out, and checking out and getting ideas of where they might want to be. I think open houses are phenomenal for testing the waters, but if you want to buy and you want to get in the market, it's competitive out there. Call your real estate agent, call your realtor, and start getting on their list so you can get access to these properties before there's even an open house.
Talking right now with Anthony Nudo about the real estate marketplace here in Wisconsin in 2018, buying and selling homes. He's a real estate agent based in Kenosha. He's also a vice president with Berkshire Hathaway Epic Real Estate. You can join this conversation. Your questions about buying and selling, 800-642-1234. Have you recently bought a home? How did it go? Did you learn anything in the process? Will you do it differently next time? Did you sell your house last year? What upgrades did you make to entice buyers? Did you get the price you wanted? Did you get more or less? And again, what would you do differently? 800-642-1234. You can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Let's go to Denise in New Berlin. Hi, Denise.
Hello, good morning. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, I have a niece that was just married last November, and her husband just passed his real estate exam in December. They're in their late 20s, and I think she may be even 30. My question is, what suggestions would Anthony have for him as he starts looking for a job, and are you hiring Anthony? I love the sound of Berkshire Hathaway. Wish I could afford some of that stock.
Yeah, thanks, Denise. Thank you for the call. And we are always looking for great real estate agents. My recommendation is to look for a national brand. Berkshire Hathaway is a phenomenal brand. There are many other good brands out there. But what you want to look for is a brand that has a great relocation network. We have at Berkshire Hathaway, we're affiliated with Brookfield Global Relocation. And while all real estate is local, it's always great to have your tentacles out there in the world and try and gather some of those buyers that are coming in and relocating here to the great state of Wisconsin.
Denise, thanks for the call. Anthony, finding an agent, you can also go word of mouth, hear what your friends and family, who they've used. Should you have an interview process when you meet a prospective real estate agent who you want to have them represent you? Which questions should you ask? What numbers should you look at in their portfolio?
You know, that is a wonderful thing, I think, is interviewing. And I think that to me, as a real estate agent, I think that's the fun process, is when you go in and interview for the job. If you're looking at selling your house and you don't have a strong recommendation from family and friends and saying, hey, this is our guy, this is our gal, this is where we're going, go ahead and interview several, and I would say 2 to 3 maybe even four agents, and see how you fit. There's different people have different personalities and different styles. Ask how long they've been in the business. Ask what tools they have with their real estate company. New agents are phenomenal, and they're very hungry. So it's not all about just length in the business. It's about what tools that company has available to them, such as relocation services and online presence.
Well, it sounds like in this market, too, they may have to be very good negotiators.
Yes, that is, I think, a key to being a successful real estate agent is the art of negotiation. It's an emotional process. Selling your home is a very emotional process. So it's not all just numbers and dollars and cents. There is an art form to good and solid negotiation, keeping the deal together, and keeping everybody happy throughout the transaction. So, yeah, negotiation is an art form, and that's very important, a great quality to have in a real estate agent.
Let's now go to Ian, who joins us from Port Washington. Hi, Ian.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. So my wife and I, within the last few months, relocated to Port Washington, and we bought a home that's a bit outdated, and that's part of why we were able to buy it at such a competitive price in the seller's market. So as we're taking down wallpaper and doing some cosmetic changes, we're also looking at some of the main improvements and renovations that we want and need to do at the home. So the first real big project is going to be the kitchen. And I guess my question is, what can we expect as far as an investment into the kitchen as a renovation when we go to sell the home as a return on that investment? Is it a dollar to dollar? Would we potentially gain, or would it be a fraction of the investment?
Anthony, go ahead.
Well, Ian, kitchens and bathrooms sell houses. Kitchens, you don't want to go crazy with it, but you're going to spend in the thousands. And I definitely recommend going with some sort of stone, some granite or quartz for your countertop. That is what buyers are looking for right now. That you'll get the biggest bang out of your buck for. Go ahead and shop around for those countertops. And again, most people can't tell the difference between quartz or granite. So if you're getting a better deal on one or the other, go with that. But you'll get a good return on your investment if you're investing in your kitchen.
Ian, thanks so much. Gary from Racine emailed to ask, if any, will the Foxconn project have on the real estate market in Racine and Kenosha County? And when might we start seeing this impact?
Well, Gary, we're already seeing it. People down in southeast Wisconsin have Foxconn fever. We have seen prices starting to creep up and actually spike a little bit after the Foxconn announcement. Here in Kenosha County, we have seen residential single-family lots that have been marketed for years evaporate. Where we're seeing investors coming in from out of town and buying these residential lots so they can build spec houses on the anticipation of a whole lot of people moving to this area. So Foxconn is having a net positive effect on the real estate market, at least in the southeast portion of the state, and we're seeing it right now, and I foresee it to continue to grow in the recent years to come.
Sure, glad we have a name for that fever now, Anthony. Foxconn fever. So a lot of speculation there in that market. Let's go to Greg now in Dodgeville. Hi, Greg.
Hello. I'm curious about the if the market also, being a seller's market, also is applicable to a multifamily duplexes, three units, and four unit buildings.
Anthony.
Yeah, Greg. Multifamily is popular right now. Millennials are renting for longer. They're renting more and longer into the future than their predecessors were. So multifamily is seeing a boon as well. It's actually throughout the state we are seeing more multifamily projects getting built from the ground up. Duplexes, fourplexes are always a strong buy, and especially in this market where we're seeing millennials having a more difficult time qualifying for a home loan, maybe because of student loans. They're renting more. So we're seeing upward pressure on those units as well.
Well, thanks so much for the question, Greg. Let's now go to Jean in Amory. Hi, Jean.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I have a question. I bought a house back in April, and there are a number of things that weren't disclosed. And I'm just wondering how viable legal action is against the seller and the inspector.
Well, Jean, the first step is to talk to an attorney. Talk to a reputable attorney about this. In Wisconsin, a home seller has to disclose everything that they know about that property, and they should have given you a real estate condition report disclosing all of that. If you think that there was something nefarious going on or that the seller knew about something and didn't disclose it, definitely talk to an attorney about that, one that specializes in real estate and litigation, and they can definitely guide you in the right direction on whether or not it's worth to pursue an action.
What do you feel, Anthony, about home warranties?
Home warranties are wonderful. Home warranties stop a whole lot of problems in the future. It's cheap insurance. It is about for about $450, $500. You have 12 months of worry-free living. I've seen many of my clients utilize that home warranty to get a new furnace or a new central air unit, a new hot water heater, even a new stove. So I think they're great investments, and typically that can be negotiated up front and have the seller pay for it on the buyer's behalf.
Jean, thanks. Good luck. Let's go to Donna in Verona now. Hi, Donna.
Hi, good morning. I'm asking, I don't know if you can answer this or not, but I am interested in selling a property. I have a person who wants to buy it. We've agreed on a price. I just don't know if I still need to involve a realtor, if I need to involve an attorney, if I can do this through a title company.
Yeah, can you make this transaction just between those two? And who else do you need in this transaction is what Donna, I think, is asking here.
Yeah, Donna, that is an excellent question. You definitely want to talk to a real estate professional, whether that's an attorney or a realtor in this case. You definitely want to talk to a real estate professional. They can help you draft that offer. They can help you get the title work all in place to make sure everything runs smoothly. Real estate attorneys and realtors, they sell real estate every single day. That's their job. That's their profession. That's what they do best. I would go ahead and engage one of them to talk about this and make sure that you have someone professional that's representing you and your interest in this.
Yeah, well, Donna, thank you so much. But I think she's also wondering, is there a lower cost option on the table there that in Donna's circumstance? Because she's got a buyer lined up. They've agreed on a price. And, there are a lot of fees in real estate.
Yeah, absolutely. Half of the battle is finding the buyer. Right now, that's where we go, and that's where we spend a lot, as realtors spend a lot of time and money, is going out and trying to find that buyer. So if you already have that buyer and you have the deal ready to rock and roll, probably the lowest cost option is engaging a good real estate attorney in talking about that. There's still going to be fees inevitably, regardless if you have a buyer or if you don't. There's always title fees, and of course, the great state of Wisconsin will look for their transfer fee whenever you sell real estate. So there will be some fees, but you could definitely help shave some of that if you have a buyer in hand.
Analysts say two factors tend to predict real estate activity: markets with plenty available jobs, along with a reasonable supply of homes for sale. The monthly supply of homes is at a 4.9-month inventory nationally right now. That's well below the 6-month supply of a healthy market. We're zeroing in on what Wisconsin's housing market will shape up to be in 2018, how to navigate buying and selling in these market conditions we're seeing. Anthony Nudo is a real estate agent. He's based in Kenosha. He's also vice president with Berkshire Hathaway Epic Real Estate. He's a former Vice President of the Wisconsin Realtor Association. Your insights on home buying and selling, 800-642-1234. What are you seeing out there? What about rural parts of the state? Is it different in urban versus rural markets? Tell us where you're at in the home buying process. Hear your stories. 800-642-1234. We'll return in just a moment. When it comes to home buying, 2018 is going to be all about the South and the Midwest. That's according to Trulia's latest housing report, which revealed 10 U.S. housing markets it expects will grow this year while remaining affordable and attracting young buyers. Madison is number 9 on that list. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're getting a check on the housing market this hour with Anthony Nudo, a real estate agent based in Kenosha. He's also a vice president with Berkshire Hathaway Epic Real Estate. You can join in this conversation about buying and selling. Let's go to Rob in Madison. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Anthony. I have a question about a duplex that I have. I was wondering if it's more beneficial to sell that as individual units, to condominiumize it, separate it into individual units, or to sell it as a whole, which are going to get a better return on investment. And I know there's some costs associated with that. Maybe you could explain what you think the cost might be to do that. And then also the second question is the time of year to sell, as far as like a month. If you were to put something on the market now, well, pretty snowy and maybe doesn't look as good. Is it better to put it on in the spring when things green up and it looks nicer, or is that when everybody's putting it on and then you have a lot more competition and a lot more sellers?
Thanks, Rob. Anthony, go ahead.
You know, condoizing an existing building might be an option, but most likely in your specific situation, it's probably not the best option. To condoize it, and just for our listeners out there, when we're talking about condominiums, if you have a duplex that's a single parcel, creating a condominium will create two separate parcels and two separate tax IDs. So you would, to do that, you would have to get the municipality to agree to it. You would have to get a condo association, whether it's for those two owners or if you have more. You would have to have bylaws, and it is a fairly complex process to create condominium units out of a duplex, and it might be cost prohibitive. You would definitely have to involve an attorney and go through the entitlement process. So that's probably not the best bet to create condominiums out of this. Again, there's strong demand for duplexes. I don't see any reason for creating condos out of this. But to your latter question regarding time of year, I'm a big proponent of getting the house up early because you definitely beat a lot of competition. There's always people moving. There's always people looking for houses. And the ones that are looking for a house in January and February, they got to move. So you're definitely beating the competition if you get it out before March and April.
Rob, thanks for the questions. Anthony, are you seeing all cash deals on out there? Also, do we need these love letters that we've seen in other cities where a prospective buyer writes a letter as to why they would absolutely love to be in this house?
Yeah, great questions. Cash buyers have been going up. We've been seeing more cash buyers in the last several years than we have in the past. We have, and that is, I believe, just due to a matter of competition. When a seller receives a cash offer, they know that there's not going to be any financing issues. They know that there's not going to be any appraisal issues. So sellers love cash offers because it's easier to deal with. To your latter question regarding the love letters, we have not been seeing a whole lot of that here in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. From what I've been seeing, it's been extremely popular in the bigger cities. you know, when it comes down to it, there is a lot of emotions in home buying and selling, and I think those love letters never hurt the situation when you accompany that with an offer.
Let's go to Doug now, who joins us from Solon Springs. Hi, Doug.
Good morning. Thank you. In your opening statement, you talked about there's no need to do an ARM, and my wife and I are downsizing in our and we're looking for financing, and so I went to two different banks, and I got, you know, approval from both banks, but one is a credit union, and the seller is highly recommending that I go with an ARM. And from what you said and what my own personal experience, that didn't make any sense to me, and I'm just curious why he would be pushing that. Is it a sales tactic for them, or I guess I'm just kind of curious.
Anthony, go ahead. Adjustable rate mortgages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for on the ARMs, the adjustable rate mortgages. I think you hit it on the head that your gut instinct tells you, you know what, you don't need that right now. The rates are hovering around 4%. And why someone would recommend that, they might be looking at it and trying to do you a favor and save you a couple bucks here, and they're probably looking in their crystal ball and saying, hey, these rates should stay pretty low for the next several years, and you can go in and refinance it at a certain point, and you'll save a bunch of money. However, the flip side is we never know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people didn't see 2008 happening, and my strong opinion is, if you can get that low rate locked in for 15 or 30 years, go ahead and do that, because we don't know really what 1, 2, 5 years from now is going to be. So I think you're better safe than sorry.
Doug, thanks so much for that. Let's go to Robin now. Robin, thanks for being with your question. Go ahead.
Yes. Good morning. My question is, it seems to be a developing trend, or at least a decision by the Department of Revenue last fall, that in rural communities, what is happening, while prices may be going up in urban communities, but in rural communities, property owners are losing value. Last fall, a property owner who lived within a mile of a confined animal feeding operation or concentrated animal feeding operation, a CAFO, was was told that they would see a reduction in property taxes of 13% because they lost, well, the owners say, about 30% of value in their home with that proximity. So it seems that, you know, things are looking good across the state, but if you live in a community that over the last decade has seen a large farm move in next door to you or within a mile. I know for myself, I was within 2.25 miles, and I lost close to that 30% also when I chose to sell and leave. So I think rural communities are going to get hit pretty bad by the reduction of property values. But when are we going to start addressing water quality and land?
Robin, thank you so much. And I want to get Anthony here to jump in on that rural market value in Wisconsin. What are you seeing going on in housing in rural areas?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Robin. We are seeing there are different markets, and the rural market is much different than the urban and suburban market. What's fueling the urban and suburban market right now is jobs and consumer confidence coming into those areas. So, yeah, there are definite challenges when you go into urban areas regarding real estate values and real estate prices. But those are, again, that's why you need to talk to your local real estate professionals over there, because all real estate is local, and depending on what's happening in your neighborhood will definitely affect the value of your home.
Let's go to Ed now in Brookfield. Hi, Ed.
Yes, good morning. My question for your guest was about houses in the higher price ranges of, say, $500,000 to $700,000 to $800,000. What is the outlook based on the historical, you know, sales and the growth in the past couple of years, if you can give us an idea what to expect this year for that?
Yeah, Ed, those prices, you're seeing those prices definitely in the southeast portion of the state and even in the middle of the state in Madison, Waukesha area. we are going to see, and in my opinion, and from what I'm seeing in the market and talking to the experts, are those prices are still going to go up. We're going to see more demand for those higher prices. Foxconn, Amazon, Uline, and the like do have line workers, but they also have executives, and those executives are looking for those executive homes. And they will be coming in from all over the state and all over the country. So I do think that there will be some upward pressure and more mobility on those higher-priced homes in the years to come.
Ed, thanks for the call. Anthony, so as we get closer here to the season where open houses will be picking up, lots of people look to like a Zillow or a Trulia to do a lot of their scoping out online. You know, we like to just check out whatever website it is that we might be tracking to see what's on the market. Do agents know more than what we see online?
Yeah, the market is very fluid. While sites like Zillow and Trulia are great to get some cursory information and kind of peruse the market, they're often outdated. So you will find that you'll see a house, and maybe it's the perfect house for you. You'll call your real estate agent, say, hey, I want to get in here, and lo and behold, it's been sold for 2 or 3 months. Sometimes those sites are outdated, and quite often they are. And a lot of times, by the time they get onto that site, those houses are already sold because the market is moving so quickly. So it's good to get an idea of the market, but if you really want to jump in and you're really looking at buying, make sure you talk to your realtor and get on their list so they can give you a call as soon as the house comes on the market.
And finally, closing costs and what you're seeing in the closing process. Are sellers being able to go to closing with not many types of fixes that they have to do before they get to closing? Are buyers not able to ask for as much as they want in closing?
Yeah, that we have been seeing. So buyers are picky. But at a certain point, they can't get too picky because there's another buyer lined up behind them. So what happened, you know, about 10 years ago when a buyer came in and they could negotiate very strongly and heavily for repairs after the home inspection, now we're not seeing those heavy negotiations after the home inspection because they know that the buyers know that there's another buyer lined up behind them that the seller can go to that would may accept that that defect.
And as we wrap up here, how critical is the home inspection?
I believe it is essentially important to understand what your home has, especially if you're a first-time buyer. Definitely get that home inspection. That home inspector will walk you through. They'll spend a couple hours with you, and they'll show you things that you probably didn't even know you had. Little things like water shutoffs and electrical mains, it's, I think, essential, especially for a first-time buyer.
Well, Anthony, thank you so much for spending the time with us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, Kate.
Anthony Nudo is a real estate agent based in Kenosha. He's also a vice president with Berkshire Hathaway Epic Real Estate and a former vice president of the Wisconsin Realtor Association. This hour of the morning show was produced by Nyasia Ellison and Rachel Vasquez. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer Kent, and this is the Ideas Network.